nothing but love on my mind.
Welcome back to the show, the Donna and Steve show on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. I meant to say the Donna and Steve experience, because that's what it is when you listen to us.
I messed that up too earlier.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I was gone for a while.
We're a show. We're an experience. We're all the things. That, by the way, is DJ Bob Lobster.
Hey, he's back. Did you miss me?
Yes. Woo! Did you go to some hipster concert?
No, I did not. I went to the least hipster possible thing. I went to like suburban Phoenix for 3 days.
What did you do there?
My wife's sister was in a tennis tournament. So otherwise, just sat around at a pool and drank, you know, gin and tonics. And
nice.
That's, was it just like toasty weather out there?
Oh my God. It was like 87 every day. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, good. Do
they have a pool?
It was a pool. It was a hot tub situation. Like I said, it was not very hipster. We sat around and acted like old people.
You're describing my paradise.
It was pretty nice.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing, Rocco. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's time to talk music.
I enjoy music.
With Donna Valentine.
Yee-haw!
And Steve Patterson.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
This is The Beat.
All right, so we were talking about Adele, One Night Only, which aired last night on CBS. Did either of you check it out?
No.
I'd like to, but I did not.
It was a really good concert. It was so great. It was star-studded. There were lots of famous people in the audience. Small. It was at that observatory in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's the Griffith Observatory.
Oh, my
beautiful,
gosh.
Beautiful, beautiful venue.
And the sky was like purple and orange, and the backdrop of the Hollywood Hills, the Hollywood sign. It was beautiful. And she was delightful. And in between, speaking of beautiful, they did an interview prior to, which was, you know, pre-filmed in Oprah's Rose Garden, which is like a park. I mean, just unbelievably gorgeous. And Oprah, you know, asked her some questions. It was pretty low key, but...
So not a lot of hard-hitting questions. The Oprah interview was a little soft.
I would say that it was slow and steady. You know, slow and steady. She got out of it what I'm sure she was looking for and leading into the songs, like Dawn McLean was saying before she left a little while ago. I enjoyed it. I watched the entire thing. Watched her perform every song from start to finish. She's just her voice. You feel like you're listening to a recording, and she could just be talking and yucking it up with the audience, and then boom, goes into this dramatic, amazing
performance. She is world class talent.
And for those of us who missed it, it is still on Paramount Plus.
Excellent. I would like to see what the numbers are for viewership.
Yeah.
Because
I'd like to see Oprah's paycheck. She's doing these stunt interviews. It's so great for her.
And she looks amazing too, by the way. She just looks so good. Who says money can't buy you good looks? Anyway, so Oprah had asked her about her weight. Like, did you know she lost nearly 100 pounds?
Oh, the first time we saw that first photo a couple of years ago. We hadn't seen her in a while. And the internet went crazy. It was a very significant contribution. That's not at all what I meant.
Transformation?
Transformation is the word that I was looking for. Thank you, Rocco.
I would have never guessed she lost 100 pounds. Never.
Oh,
ever,
I would have, for sure.
I would have thought maybe 40, 50 pounds. Because, I don't know, she looks great all the time. Doesn't matter. So Oprah asked her about some of the people who felt like she abandoned them because she was one of them before, an average looking, you know, weight wise woman.
Sure.
And now she lost this weight. And here's what Oprah asked and how she responded.
I want to know, what has the experience of losing this been like for you, and also people's reaction to it?
I'm not shocked or even fazed by it because my body has been objectified my entire career. I'm either too big, I'm either too small, like, you know, I'm either hot or I'm either not, like, whatever. I never looked up to anyone because of their body. You know, I never admired anyone because they had the same hair color as me or the same style as me or, you know, whatever. So
were the same weight as you?
Never. Never, ever, ever.
And when you were heavier, you were fine.
I was body positive then, and I'm body positive now. But it's not my job to validate how people feel about their bodies. Ooh. And I feel bad that, you know, it's made anyone feel horrible about themselves. But that's not my job. And I can't... I'm trying to sort my own life out. You know, I can't add another worry and another thing to try and nail. I can't. Like, you know, and...
I got that. I love that.
I love that she's basically saying, like, I have my own problems. You work out you.
Yeah, right.
Not my job to do that. And, you know, she started working out not to lose weight. She said she always worked out because she has back problems, and she started working out every day. And this was just kind of a side effect of working out so much. Hmm. She talked about how much she loves weightlifting.
This is like me, Donna.
Exactly like you.
Oh my God.
But completely different. She says, I'm an athlete. She says she can not bench press, deadlift 160 pounds.
That's awesome.
That's incredible. So she talked about that. It was good. Like Rocco said, it's still available on Paramount Plus. So go and watch it. It was very good.
I just love the way she says body positive.
You think I'm still working out my own problems, Opie?
Opie.
You know, you can't do it for everyone else.
Opie.
Kudos to her for realizing just because you have a billion people that know who you are doesn't mean that you have to deal with their billion projections about onto you about their own life and all of that. Just because that's a good boundary. She has set a good boundary of that's not my hill to climb. Can't do it. Also, you know, I have friends. Shout out to the King brothers who have helped to outfit me on Twin Cities Live. Two twin brothers, and they run this custom suit shop. But they went from, they had like a really significant weight loss too, where we had them on the show and then we didn't have them on for 6 months. We were like, wow, these guys, they're looking good. And then 3 months later went by. It was crazy. And the same thing, she mentions weightlifting. They said that was the key for them was they stopped drinking, which stopped all like the cravings and all the bad stuff that comes along with that. And then they just lifted weights, and muscle beats fat every time.
Mm-hmm.
Me, yeah. Adele, okay. And The Rock getting to Iron Paradise together, get a little clang and a little bang.
You're really cutting into my Taylor Swift time here.
Oh, that wasn't intentional.
About Taylor.
He just dropped a brand new video directed by Blake Lively. It is for the song I Bet You Think About Me, which is on her new re-recorded version of Red. On this song is Chris Stapleton. You want to hear a little sampling?
Yes.
Uh-oh, is that something I need to do?
Oh, yep, yeah. Uh-oh.
Where is it?
I wrote right there, D-A under country.
Usually I expect a link.
That's Steve Leaves links. I don't do links.
Okay, under country.
Which is better?
I got it.
Shut up, Steve.
It's just better if I pay attention. Here goes.
Very country.
Sure.
When are we going to talk about her 10-minute crazy ex-girlfriend breakup song?
Let's do it when we come right back, okay? And then we'll talk about more that happened on SNL, my favorite sketch that I totally relate to.
Oh, Lord, I watched it. I thought, oh, I hope Donna's not seeing this. It's going to spook her.
Totally did. I was like, oh, hell no. We'll get to all of that when we come right back on My Talk 107.1.
Miss those talks with friends and
hi, y'all. Thanks for listening to My Talk 107.1. Everything Entertainment with Donna and Steve.
And clomp, clomp, clomp.
Rocco, you asked me if you needed to get anything here, and yes, you do. It's
what,
in yellow.
The SNL? Okay, cool.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks
a lot for
the show. We could have talked about that during the break.
Yeah, it's all right. Cool. Our listeners are used to us.
Yeah.
Doing our show prep. I didn't mean right now.
Whoa, hey, Rocco.
Ever
since he got back from Arizona, he's
still on vacation. Really, yeah. Rude.
Although his beard is back,
it's coming.
His beard back. That's
coming
nice.
Back.
I didn't even notice it was gone.
I shaved it for Halloween.
Like completely gone.
It was completely.
Yeah,
gone.
I was. My wife
was
and
horrified.
I were Bob and Doug McKenzie from.
Oh, that's right.
From SCTV for Halloween. Yeah.
Way to keep it current.
Thanks. You need any Molson? We bought like a 12er of Molson. And we're not going to drink it. So
no, you know, I am so not a beer person that I have a 12-pack of beer in my fridge that has been sitting there now for weeks, and it's going to expire.
Aging it? Are you just
it like does a go wine bad. Cellar? It does go bad after a it while. Does. It goes, like, I don't know.
Skunky, they say.
Yeah.
How's everything?
Pretty good. Thanks Pretty for good. Asking. So I love Taylor Swift. You know that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm forever talking about her. Mm-hmm. Total Swiftie. Love almost everything she does. So she was on Saturday Night Live this week, and she did one performance as opposed to two. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching it, and I'm like, wow, I'm really not familiar with this song. It must never have been a single, because I didn't own the album Red. Mm-hmm. That's the only, I think, one of very, I don't know. I just played her so much on the radio that I didn't need to, because I heard her all the time.
Sure.
So the song's playing and playing, and she's performing, and she's got backup singers, and she's going on and on and on and on and on. I'm like, oh my God, have we been watching this performance for like 9 minutes now? I said to Rumi, and he's like, yeah, this is the 10-minute version. I'm like, what in the hell?
That's how I felt. I was trying to get the Weekend Update, so I'm trying to fast forward through it, and I just thought, am I hitting it slow? I thought I was on three times faster, lightning forward. And it just kept going and going and going.
I mean, so here's the deal with this song. She basically, this is the original recording of the song. She basically improvised this song when she was at a rehearsal. Just talking about her feelings. She was in a bad place. This is clearly about Jake Gyllenhaal and their breakup. And the sound guys actually ended up recording it, because her mom was like, please tell me you were recording that. And they handed her mom, Andrea, a CD and said, here you go. She didn't, obviously was not able to put this on the first version of Red, because it's 10 minutes long, right? And it's not going to get airplay. So she decided to include it on this album. And she was super excited that she was able to perform that original version of the song.
And I don't know about you guys, but I think it's
self-indulgent. I don't think it's a good song. It just rambles.
Yeah, and it's just so personal that like nobody else can relate to it.
It's like a kid who writes a poem, and then you read their poem because you're reading their diary, and you're like, oh boy, that's like teenage angsty stuff.
And you just want to say, guess what? Jake Gyllenhaal just wasn't into you, and move on.
There's another perspective to the Taylor Swift debate.
I don't mind the song.
I love her music. I do. I it's a lot.
And then Seth Meyers. Wow, hi. That was 10 years ago. Colin Jost made a joke about Taylor Swift right at the beginning of Weekend Update. Something about, what did we all just learn? That if you break up with Taylor Swift, you're going to get a 10-minute song.
Right.
Perform.
And in the whole time she's singing it, there's like this professionally shot music video
that she directed.
Yeah, it's just like, come on.
And it's got that Sadie Sink from Stranger Things in it, that cute little redheaded girl.
Oh, yeah.
The newer girl. I loved her. But it was just, that's the only word I could think of to describe it, is it was self-indulgent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Taylor. I love you so much.
That's interesting to hear from you, Donna, because you are such a fan of her. So
I know.
That's interesting to hear.
I'm going
to
find out what our friend Brittany, who sometimes fills in, feels about it, because she's a Swiftie.
Yes.
She might have
loved it. I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood. Okay, you text her. Okay, also, Taylor took part in a Pete Davidson. What are the name of those guys, Steve, on SNL that do the videos?
They're hilarious.
Why are they not like players?
Well, I think we're going to start seeing more and more of them, I think.
We also saw two new cast members. There's a girl named Sarah Sherman.
Please don't destroy.
Okay, got it. That's what they go
by. I won't interrupt again.
No, please interrupt. Sarah Sherman, super weird. She was part of Weekend Update. There's another guy who played a robot guy, Aristotle Atari.
Yep.
Yes.
So they seem pretty solid.
Robot guy was funny. And then what was her bit that she was doing that was good? She just kept like writing new headlines, totally framing Colin Jost.
Yes, as if he's like a bad person and he needs to be canceled.
It was very, very cute.
Then my favorite sketch is called Strange Kid Tales. So Jonathan Majors, who was the host, And Kenan Thompson are the host of a show where parents bring on their kids who have like supernatural experiences. We have a little bit of it. We'll play like, you know, a minute, 20 seconds or something.
Our first guests are Marlo Winters and her son, Caden. So, what's going on with this little boy?
Well, Caden's always been so perceptive, and it's like he can see otherworldly things that we can't see.
What does that mean?
Oh, well, like the other day, we were walking by a cemetery.
Nope.
And he starts waving at someone, only there's no one there.
Do not like it.
So I say, who are you waving at? And he says, the man in the red jacket.
The who and the what now?
And the weird part is...
Oh, that wasn't the weird part?
Well, when I was tucking him in that night, he waved at the corner of his bedroom, and I said, who are you waving at now? And he goes, the man in the red jacket, he followed us home.
No!
Jump out of their chairs.
No. Thank you for being here, but you gotta go. All right. Let's keep it moving.
Do we have to?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Our next guests are Dave Timkins and his 6-year-old son, Max. No.
He just starts saying no.
Yeah, kid already looks creepy. Ain't even said a word.
So you get the gist. It just keeps going on and on about these kids and how they're conduits to the afterworld.
Now, I knew it was going to freak you out. Yeah, there you go.
I would have reacted the same exact way.
I'll link up to it, by the way, on the Donna Steve Show links page. Why don't you play along with us right now? Give us a call, 651-641-1071. Call now. Play the College of Pop Culture Knowledge. Bet on me or Donna. Bet right. Win a prize. 651-641-1071. Howdy.
Shall we play a little game on the Donna and Steve experience?
It's time to go to college.
It's time to attend the College of Pop Culture Knowledge.
It's like quiz ball.
Three trivia questions to find out who's smarter. Donna.
Donna's a smart one.
Or Steve.
His brain ain't right, but it's fun.
And here's your host.
DJ Rock Lobster. Lobster.
I want to see how smart you are.
I do want to see how smart you are, and I'm going to quiz you today in honor of Taylor's 10-minute rant against Jake Gyllenhaal on national television. These are breakup songs about other celebrities.
Oh, man.
Breakup songs about other celebrities. Man. And here to play along is a woman who's never been broken up with.
Oh.
Amy!
Amy! Yeah.
There's our girl. Amy, how are you?
I'm fine. How about you guys?
Oh, what do we have to do? Fine feels, okay. We need to get you to a good, my friend. Maybe we can win you a prize and your day will go from fine to good.
Great.
All right. Oh, now you're going to have to choose Donna or Steve. That would be me. The topic is breakup songs. And you have a decision.
I think we're going to have to go with Girl Power Donna.
Yeah. I mean,
that strikes me as a little anti-man. Rocco, doesn't it?
Kind of, but that's Amy. That's Amy for you in a nutshell.
Typical Amy. All right, Amy in a nutshell. All right, I'm going to go play the guitar.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
Okay, Steve's gone. Amy's going to go down on hold.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
These are just random songs, right?
These are breakup songs. I'll give you some context clues.
But it's not Taylor Swift.
These are breakup songs throughout history about other celebrities. And you're right. I could have done the entire quiz about Taylor Swift breakup songs about other celebrities because there have been a few. Okay. But I didn't.
Okay.
You ready?
I guess so.
We'll start with this one. The most recent of the breakup songs I'm going to quiz you on. We're going to go all the way back to 2015. Can you name the Justin Bieber breakup song, supposedly about Selena Gomez?
Can't remember.
Can you name the 1995 breakup song, supposedly about Dave Coulier?
Yes, that's the Alanis Morissette song called You Ought to Know.
And can you name the 1972 breakup song, supposedly about Warren Beatty?
Yes, that is You're So Vain by Carly Simon. Mm-hmm. And the first one by Bieber is called... I'm not going to come up with it.
That's right. That's why you got Amy.
Okay, I'm going to go to Amy.
By the way, I was listening last week. You were playing this game. when I was gone. And the caller helped you out. You got it right. And Dawn didn't give you credit for it. And you lost.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of bull. It again?
I don't remember.
I know. Everybody's
got different rules.
Me. I know.
Amy, how do you feel about Donna's answers?
Oh, I know, because I only had to give one answer.
I think Donna did a great job. Mm-hmm. I wish I could help her with the first one, though. I'm not a Biebs fan.
Come on.
Yeah, Steve is. That's
he was
the
just
problem.
In town. He was doing some songs at Target Center.
We're going to be tied, because Steve is not going to get the last one, but he's going to get the Alanis Morissette one. Shoot. Well, right. Let's just take our chances.
All right, I'll wave at Steve. Hi, Steve. Here he comes. Okay. Yep. Hello, Steve.
Hey, guys. What's up, man?
All right. Breakup songs.
Unchained Melody.
You probably don't know any breakup songs because you've been with the same woman since high school.
10th grade. Yeah. What is a breakup?
Did you get broken up Describe with breakup, in like 8th, 9th grade? Anything?
Yeah. Heather Smith broke up with me 7 times between 4th and 8th grade.
And you sat around listening to sad Creed songs.
Yeah. It was tough, man.
Well, everybody hates getting dumped.
Yeah, everybody hates getting dumped.
Maybe they write a song about it, and maybe it goes something like this. Let's start with this one from 2015, Steve. Can you name the breakup song by Justin Bieber that is supposedly about Selena Gomez?
Love Yourself.
Can you name the 1995 song supposedly about Dave Coulier?
Oh, You Ought to Know.
Can you name the 1972 song supposedly about Warren Beatty?
You're So Vain.
Oh!
Shoot, dog.
Amy, not going to win a T-shirt. So
you probably think this song is about you.
You're so vain.
All right, I didn't think you'd get the last one. I knew you'd get the first two.
Oh.
I got the second, too. I couldn't remember the Bieber song. I know the song.
If you like new way, you look that much, baby, you should go and love yourself. My mama don't like you.
Sorry, Amy.
She likes everyone.
Shia, thanks.
Amy, wait, no, hey, don't run off like that. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but here's the good news for you. Silver lining, my friend. Since you were a massive loser today, you are allowed to call tomorrow. Had you won, we would have banished you for 30 days from all competition.
Okay. Well, you know, tomorrow it is.
Tomorrow it is.
Thanks, Amy.
Same time, same place.
Right. Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks, Amy. She seemed irritated with you, Donna.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah. I'm a terrible person.
No, Donna.
Sorry.
Look at us both in our gray sweatshirts and sweaters today.
I know, we're all cozy.
Is that cozy?
I wore a cardigan sweater. I've got some Ryan Perpich vibes going on here.
Oh, yeah, DJ Perp worthy. You're going to have to, he'll catch you on a royalty. By the way, anytime I see Ryan in the newsroom, I didn't see you there. I scared him the other day. He was licking a lollipop while putting together a newscast, and then I appeared beside him and said, oh, God, I didn't see you there. How long have you been there? Did you get hired here, too? Is that what you're doing after Twin Cities Live?
Oh, that's funny, Steve.
And he always says, well, if you need someone to fill in. And I say never, every time. He's trying to get on to Twin Cities Live. He's trying to get on the Don and Steve Experience.
Steve.
What?
Instead of getting tipsy today.
I had a Kenny G tip. You hate Kenny G. What do you want to do?
I want to talk about the Katie Couric book.
Is this our official moment?
Yeah.
This is now the Donna and Steve read-along, hashtag, it's not a book club. We decided to, Donna got the book, Katie Couric's book called Going There. I picked it up a day after. And after a lot of debate, we are now just read whatever you want. We'll talk about it every Monday, read whatever you want, and it's fine. That being said, we will find out where we each got to. How are you doing on the book?
I got to page 125.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. See, I got to page 96.
All right, so we're about the same, but at least nobody's saying, you got to get to 150, because then it's like, I can't go to bed. I can't go to bed until I get to 150, and then you're not enjoying the experience.
It feels like an assignment.
Right.
Yes.
Are you enjoying it?
Loving it.
Yeah, I like it too.
I love the pacing of it. It's really great, and she has cracked the code for how you talk about your past, how you talk about your childhood and your upbringing.
She's given us a little more than I want.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, here,
what I like, though, is even if she does a little bit, because we're both like, get to the cooking, right? Let's just give me the meat. I know you as this, so tell me about this. I don't need 85 pages of your junior high life. Take me to where I know you from. But she starts off with her working in the industry and then jumps back and does a 2-page chapter about that. But by the end of that chapter, she'll still bring you to current day chronologically and where the story's going. And I really like her pacing in this book. It's like 3-page chapters. Don't
yeah, I love that. I like that a lot. I like that she sprinkles in things that people might grab. As did you know this about Katie Couric?
Yeah.
And she kind of nonchalantly throws some stuff in where you're like, well, that's kind of significant what you just said there.
How about Neil Simon?
How about that?
Neil Simon, she's like sitting front row at a thing with that Neil Simon is on stage at, I believe.
Yeah, like a Q&A or something.
Yeah. And he keeps making eyes at her.
And she feels him making eyes at her. And then she knows that he knows that she knows.
And then she goes back to the station. And there is there's a little notepad, a note paper waiting for her in her mailbox.
You missed this call. Remember those?
Yeah. And it said, the name said Neil Simon. And then the box was checked, called, which meant he was reaching out to her. And then they went to dinner. They went back to his place.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the further that it went.
How about the Larry King stuff?
Jeez Louise.
Did you get there?
I did. Yeah.
Wow. Larry. Yeah.
And then how about the fact that
Why'd she go out with him?
That was a little peculiar, wasn't it? But she said that Larry King, after he made a pass at her, they went to dinner, went back to his place, I think, after the second date or something
spoiler
like that.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
Spoiler. That's the thing, though. We're spoiling the book. We cannot. That's the most frustrating thing about talking about a book, is when you feel like you just can't say anything about it.
Well, yeah? I feel like, you know, all the interview shows were picking up on all the excerpts.
Oh, these were excerpts when she said Larry King tried to put his tongue down my throat or something like that. Like, we read about that a few weeks ago. But, Donna, cool. Donna's like viscerally reacting to that concept right now. She said that she and Larry were able to laugh about it every other time that they saw each other over the years. That's positive, right?
Yes.
I'm really enjoying the book. And I'm going to do a quick trip to Los Angeles today. I'll be back on Wednesday. Point of that is I'll be on a flight for 4 hours.
Oh, great.
Today.
So is it four hours from here?
Maybe 3 hours.
I thought it was maybe 4 hours from New York, coast to coast.
I think that's more like 6 hours.
No. I think Steve's right. 6 hours.
I just went to Phoenix in about 3.5. You add another half hour to L.A.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, New York to L.A. to New York is probably about 5 hours because of the jet stream. I bet you it's about 6 hours going New York to L.A. It's 3,000 miles. That's like New York to Heathrow.
Forget that. You could go to be in Europe in 5 hours. Europe.
But maybe I'll finish the whole book. I don't know.
All right. Great.
Because I don't mean to brag.
But?
I'm flying business class. I don't think I've ever flown business class
before. I don't even know what that means. Is that first class? Is that?
I don't think it's first class. I think
you get drinks? What's that mean?
I get a dinner. It says dinner. I'm going to come hungry. I'm not eating all day. Waiting for that plane dinner.
All right.
So I'll sit there, I'll wine, I'll dine, and I'll read. Is that illegal now?
Excuse me, Steve. Earmuff it, buddy.
Okay.
Hey, Rocco.
Yo.
So seriously, how long before Steve big times us, you know, and then starts not returning our calls or our texts?
I already do that.
It starts with business class.
Yep. And LA, you know?
Business class is the gateway drug?
Yeah.
Good luck to you, sir.
Get that chicken cutlet, man.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Oh, and then, by the way, I'll be back Friday. So I go there just for a quick meeting on Tuesday, and then I fly back. Think of this. I board the plane, Minnesota time, 2:39 a.m. on Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning. It's a red eye.
Oh, great.
So I will be on 4 hours of red eye sleep.
So we'll have crappy Steve Patterson.
You bet your bottom dollar.
Great. No, don't forget we're on TV too on Fridays.
No, but I'm coming back on Wednesday.
Oh, that's right.
I just have Tuesday.
Right. Sorry, my bad.
Where are you going on Friday?
Nowhere. I have so many vacation days that I haven't used yet this year.
Must.
Well, three? Listen.
Nice.
We had a pandemic last year. I had 5 days left over. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't used much vacation time. I better start, you know, using some here and there. So I'm just going to, I don't know, lay in bed and read my book. Bye. All right, we got to go. What do you want to do? Oh, I started a new show. I would like to talk about it. I think Rocco will like it. Steve, I'm not sure about you. I think it's my new Ted Lasso because I'm done with Ted Lasso. That show is...
Did you finish it or are you just over it?
I'm kind of over it. I'm over it.
You know what? I have... My wife and I haven't moved forward on it either.
It's fine. I get what it is. I don't feel like I need to see what happens on the next episode is what it is. But I'll tell you what I'm watching and then you can decide for yourself if you think you should watch it too. And we come right back on My Talk 107.1. We're back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. We are joined by the one and only DJ.
Do you get a lot of clumps out there in
Arizona?
No, it was funny. We were going through some old pictures of my kid, and I saw him on a ride at Valley Fair, and it was like a Snoopy, you know, Peanuts based ride.
Yeah.
And in big letters behind him, it said Clomp.
No.
No way.
So then I Googled like Peanuts Clomp, and sure enough, Charles Schulz used that word a lot.
Oh, Clomp, Clomp.
So I think I texted you guys, said, hey, let's get some tattoos made.
Yes.
You
know,
and I thought about that, Rocco. It wouldn't take a ton, I'm guessing. I don't know you super well, but well enough, I feel like you could be talked into getting a Clomp Clomp tattoo. Am I right in that assumption?
I mean, you know, working on the show won me a Marconi Award, so I mean, what are you going to do?
That's true.
Yes. Also you.
What if three of us
get Marconi Clomp a tattoo?
I got an idea. Okay. I have an idea. This is great.
All right, go ahead.
We're going to save this. Can somebody send a reminder? Save this for next year's Project Down and Dirty. And we get DJ Rock Lobster Saclump into Clomp. Shaborkin Borg, he gets tattooed live on the air.
Oh my God.
If we get to a certain donation amount.
Oh my gosh.
And then we could have it happen. Hannah would live stream. She'd lose her mind. It'd be great. Come on. Next October, Saclump.
Let's. I've spent my first 49 and a half years tattoo free. I think I'm gonna keep it going.
Yeah,
you strike me as a tattoo guy.
I also have a short attention span. There's not much that I want on my, you know.
How about 11/11?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I would do 11/11. Steve gave me an 11/11 bracelet one time.
And I was so sad that I missed 11/11/11 on 11/11 with you guys.
I am too.
It was quite a magical moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think Donna said, make a wish. Okay, back to the adult talk.
11/11/11. Okay. Anyway, let me tell you what I'm watching. Thank you. It's on Apple Plus TV or Apple TV Plus, whatever you call it. It's on Apple. And Rocco listened to the entire podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Paul Rudd, Will Ferrell, Catherine Hahn, The Shrink Next Door. And I guess it's based on a true story, huh?
Yeah, about a guy who went to a shrink and the shrink kind of took advantage of him and took over his life.
So here's what's happening right now. I am three episodes in. Paul Rudd is amazing. Will Ferrell, his character is beyond annoying.
What?
He's that angsty, like... like Richard Lewis, kind of Woody Allen, kind of, everything's going wrong. Oh, I have no self-esteem. Oh, it is really taxing and it stresses me out. And it also stresses me out because I don't know what's going to happen in the next episode. And you can already see where this is going. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
You see that this shrink... is his wheels are spinning, you know, as he finds out that Will Ferrell's character has quite a bit of money and he starts manipulating him. And Will Ferrell's sister, I'm sorry, I don't know the character names yet, in this is throwing red flags, you know, like, hey, wait a second.
Right.
And then, of course, Will Ferrell's character, who is seeing the shrink, is like, well, you don't want to see me change. You're making this about you. It's just like... The dynamic is so stressful.
Is Is this a Will Ferrell dramatic performance?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I like it.
Okay.
It's got a little bit of... He's good. He's really good. He's just... It's his character that sucks.
Is there comedy in this?
Yes. There's a lot of Jewish comedy. You know, like a... You kind of have to... You kind of have to watch it to know what I mean.
Okay.
Very New York, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Yeah, I'm walking here.
Very, very New York. Paul Rudd, he's almost unrecognizable because you never see him play characters like this. He's always like this cute, charming love interest, Ant-Man. It's very, very different.
Are these 30-minute episodes?
You know, funny you asked that. I thought they were, but I feel like yesterday's or the most recent episode, because I think they come out weekly, I feel like it was 50 minutes.
Okay.
So I think they vary quite a bit. But,
good stuff, though. I mean, I've read mixed reviews. I saw some that were up, some that were down.
It's good. It's really good. It's just really stressful. And that's how I like to watch TV.
Paul McGuire. Yeah. Well, it's funny because you were mentioning Will Ferrell. You were describing his character. I was like,
he's so annoying. He's just the person that you want to slap and go, snap out of it. Like, geez, get some bees. If you know what I mean.
This is how I feel. I mean, it sounded like you were describing you. You're like, he's always worried. Doesn't have as much confidence in himself as he should.
Different.
I'm like, that's well.
Different, because he's just weak. You know what I mean? He's weak, and he's taking over his father's business, and he doesn't feel like he measures up. And so he doesn't have, like, an authoritative bone in his body. Just, it's a lot. He's
that's
just
tough.
A wimp.
Now, also on Apple TV+, and for a very different demographic, I just went and was disheartened, and then I was heartened. So DJ Rock Lobster at 10 o'clock dropped the Fraggle Rock bomb and was like, hey, they're rebooting Fraggle Rock. Such a nostalgic 80s, 90s kids show. So then I went and looked and I was like, wait, I see that it's out now already on Apple TV+. Plus, there are 6 episodes.
Oh, really?
Well, no. Let me explain.
Sorry, go ahead.
It was, I got all disappointed because then it said, it's Fraggle's Rock On, and it had a split screen of them with, you know, like Dave Grohl or Jason Mraz, and it said, even though the Fraggles are all in different places, like social distancing, they're still able to show that we can have a good time. And I was like, oh man, is it going to be this? Like, I wanted full Fraggle Rock, the underground layer. I wanted the, all of that just looks cool to me. So that was a special that they did, just a little teaser special, 6 episodes, I think short little episodes. Whereas Fraggle Rock, what's it called? Return of the Rock? Or
something like that, right?
Yeah, Back to the Rock. It is the full. The Doozers are coming through, working on their construction. Their underground layer is expansive, and it looks beautiful, too. Because right now, if you ever watch it on YouTube, which I sometimes do with my kids, it's grainy, and it's 80s. This is high definition. The colors just pop. It looks fantastic. January 21st. Is the official release date, and I'm pumped. We'll go with a question in the back.
Again, first time, long time. Hmm. I want to know if Moki made it.
Of course. Your sort of spirit animal, so to speak. Doppelganger. Yeah, when people are like, who does Donna Valentine look like? You either get Celine Dion, right?
Yeah.
Or Moki, the Fraggle who wore a lot of dusters.
Or Maxine from those Hallmark cards, the old lady who's always like moaning about something.
I think she was the one who called her boobs a second set of knees. I think it was her. I don't know.
Good times, guys.
I like to do it.
All right, bye now.
No, let's come back. We have a third hour coming your way.
Fine.
Let's see here. Oh, we have a Yellowstone discussion after the break. I heard somebody say something crazy about it over the weekend. Dawn is done with season 1. We discuss next.